Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Thriving Marriage Podcast, one of the top marriage podcasts in the world. Here with High Thrive Coaching and the Thriving Marriage Podcast, our mission is to help thousands of couples create thriving marriages. My name, of course, is Mark Johnston. You've probably seen me around before. You also probably are noticing that Heather is not with me this week, so I'm going to be running this one solo. In this episode, we're going to get to gaslighting. I know a lot of people talk about gaslighting out there and might say, okay, well, my partner is gaslighting me. And here's this insidious, terrible thing that's happening. And I want to talk all about it, how to recognize gaslighting behaviors in your marriage and how to, you know, what to do about it and how to tell whether it's that, which is something very, very serious, or whether it's something benign and something maybe you can work through instead. So watch till the end, because I'm going to have some specific tips on, you know, what to do if you believe that there is some gaslighting behavior within your marriage. Now, before we get to that, though, I want to share our client win of the week. This is from an anonymous person within our group, but this person shares that they've had a huge win. They said that they came home from a trip to the beach to find that her husband had moved everything back to their house. Everything, she says. At first, she thought it was just his winter clothes, but then went into a spare room to see boxes of his stuff that he had taken previously. She says she is so excited and tells her that he's looking at us being okay and he's considering staying. Her heart is full, she says. I mean, this is the sort of thing that, you know, when you really push, when you actually put in a good amount of effort and you actually, you know, are doing the right sort of things, we get these big turnarounds. It all, you know, in my opinion, it all comes down to like how significant are a lot of these actions to, you know, the person who's leaving. This is a big part of like how Heather and I and the rest of our team help couples really solve some things by looking at that narrative, those beliefs that are behind this, the significance behind the actions, and making sure that we are reinforcing those positive messages. Anyways, you know, the whole topic today, you know, for this podcast actually came from a question that we put out there in the Facebook group. The question was, can gaslighting be unintentional? And we had a lot of people out there who answered this. Actually, a fair amount of people, you know, agree that yes, it can be unintentional. But you know, there were some mixed feelings. Some, you know, a good portion said that it was sometimes. Some people said no, it's always intentional. And you know, I actually liked where some of the comments actually went. They're basically saying, hey, gaslighting might not be the proper term if this is unintentional. And we're going to get into that. Like, when is it gaslighting? And when is it not? When is it just other unhealthy behaviors? And in this comment by Darren, you know, I think really it starts to hit the nail on the head there, where it has a lot to do with intention. Anyways, like I was saying, We put the question out there. There is a discussion going on and we'd love to hear your comments. Even now, if you feel like there is gaslighting behavior, please leave comments here or leave comments over there in that other discussion. If you think gaslighting is going on within your marriage, or if you just have an opinion on gaslighting in general. So like I said, we're discussing this because of that question out there, but also because the last month or so, we've been discussing a lot of buzzwords that come up when looking at marriage problems. So far, we've looked at, you know, abuse situations. We've looked at narcissism. Today, we're looking at gaslighting. And part of this is that I've spoken with so many people in my career about marriage problems. that's all I do. That's all I do every day is talk to people about relationship and marriage problems. Some of these people that I talk to have very seriously unhealthy behavior that goes on within their relationship. And it does include things like narcissism and abuse or even gaslighting. But many times when I've heard these labels, it turns out that the label is much more extreme than what is actually going on. And so I always like to put the proper label on things, because if we're looking at this and saying, oh, my husband is gaslighting me, and it's really, hey, her husband has some really poor communication. The poor communication is something much easier to accept and to fix. I also wanted to discuss this today in case there is gaslighting going on in your relationship, so that you know how to approach this situation and how to know whether it has gone too far or whether you just need to get out. From my own experience, I've seen that other specific and less serious problems can often be mistaken for gaslighting. So specifically, I see issues of, you know, poor communication or projection or, you know, bits of manipulation can sometimes be misconstrued as gaslighting behavior. And a lot of times, like, you, we look at this, we may say, oh, projection or manipulation, those things are bad too. It's an integral part of gaslighting. But, you know, to be honest, like, there is a fair amount of projection, manipulation, poor communication that goes on, and it's not a serious issue. Like, manipulation, you might say, is like this evil thing, but it isn't necessarily evil, nor is manipulation gaslighting itself. I mean, it isn't uncommon for kids to manipulate their parents, even from a very young age. And a lot of them do it naturally, and they don't mean anything wrong by it. Marketing and advertising manipulate its audiences in order to get people to buy their products. Partners might manipulate each other because they don't have healthier ways to ask for what they want. And what I'm getting at here is that many times there are very simple explanations for these labels that get put on people. So to be clear, let's actually talk about what gaslighting is. So gaslighting, it involves a pattern of abusive behavior with the intent not to just to influence someone, but to control them. Victims of gaslighting are deliberately and systematically fed false information that leads them to question what they know to be true, often about themselves. This is kind of like, this is what gaslighting is. It's intent to control, and it tries to encourage the questioning of reality. And I want to go over a lot of different examples of how this might look like, or how this might look in certain situations. And when is it gaslighting, and when is it something else? So for an example, I've heard the label of gaslighting when there's a lot of blatant lies. And certainly there is lying involved in gaslighting, but lying isn't necessarily gaslighting. A lot of the difference is in intent. Is your partner lying because they don't want to discuss a difficult topic? Because they're avoiding an uncomfortable situation? Because they don't believe that you're going to approve of their actions? Or are they lying to keep you unsteady, to make you question what's real, to, you know, to make sure that they that you aren't focusing on what's really going on? Gaslighting with lies has an ulterior motive quite often to distract you from that reality of things, what's really going on. Gaslighting lies are there to make you question yourself and your own memories in order to accomplish something else. So if there's lies with gaslighting, it usually has some other motive beyond just, you know, not telling the truth. An example of like a gaslighting lie is they might specifically like deny that something has happened because they don't want you to catch on to, you know, they don't want you to catch on about their behavior towards you. They might say, no, of course, I've always been there for you. And I've never hurt you ever. What are you talking about? They're questioning how they're lying to question, have you question reality. Example number two, perhaps, you know, there's some denial that they've said anything. I mentioned that in the previous example, even though you have direct proof. Is your partner denying their own actions, even though you have proof of what the reality is? Like, this is a situation where it could be other things. It could be that, once again, you know, when we talked about it with in terms of lying, are they really uncomfortable with something that they've said? Are they wishing that they hadn't done whatever it is that they did? Are they really, really trying to avoid, the consequences of their behavior? Like, none of those are great things. None of those are really healthy things. But is it gaslighting? And for me, when it turns into gaslighting in that sort of situation, like denial of reality, is when it all kind of depends on the intent. And it goes back to like the example with the blatant lies. Is there some other motive here? Are they trying to get you into a situation where they can control you to a greater degree? Are they trying to get you to do something that you otherwise wouldn't want to do? These are situations where it is quite a bit more, you know, leaning towards gaslighting, even though there are still unhealthy, but more benign reasons to deny some of the actions or some of the things that they've said in the past. Some people might say, it's gaslighting, you know, example number three here. If their actions don't meet their words, you know, here we have a little bit, you know, a different flavor of denial of the truth. You know, if they're saying, you know, their words are saying one thing and their actions are doing something else. You know, many times people may promise to make changes or to do something and lack follow through. Is that gaslighting? Maybe this is going on because of poor communication or discomfort with saying no to you. Perhaps it's because they fear what you might say if they disagree. And it becomes more of a symptom of gaslighting when they have no intention whatsoever to provide whatever it is that they're promising. If I said, let's say that they're only promising this as a way to calm you down or to distract you from their own actions. Let's say that you're accusing them of being an alcoholic. And they're saying, you know, I'm not an alcoholic at all. How dare you question me like that? I'm wondering if you've been drinking too much. Maybe you're the alcoholic here. Where their words are saying, I'm not drinking. I'm not an alcoholic here. But clearly their actions say otherwise. Do you hear the difference? It's this situation where they're trying to calm you down or to distract you from the reality of things. That's when it becomes gaslighting. It becomes gaslighting when the description of their own actions don't match the reality and they know it. As in, they're lying about the positive things that they've done for you or denying the negative things that they've done to you, getting upset at you when you question that. Okay, next example. You know, some people say, okay, well, it's gaslighting if they use things that are really important to you as ammunition. Like gaslighting as in they're trying to make you question your beliefs about you yourself, your ability as a parent, as a mother or father. And they know that that's important to you to be there as a good mother or father. Honestly, like using what's near or dear to you as ammunition might not be gaslighting. It could just be a really terrible and insensitive argument style. It could be people lashing out while they're reacting emotionally. It becomes gaslighting when, you know, it's, once again, it's about this questioning of reality. It's about denying what's real or to make you believe that you aren't whatever, like you aren't a good father when you know that you are. And, you know, as a way to control you or to get you to do something that you would otherwise not want to do. we'll keep going. I have a couple more examples, and then I want to sum it all up as to what gaslighting is or is not. The next example is projection. Like I said earlier, like this is one of the things that people often talk about in terms of gaslighting is there's projection. And so does projection mean gaslighting? And honestly, like rationalizing or projecting behaviors can occur in a lot of situations. Many people project their feelings and their own thoughts, their beliefs onto other people. Rationalizing or projecting can take on a gaslighting sort of spin to things, especially when it's twisted as taking their own faults and really getting accusatory and upset about you and how you're the actual problem here. Like this might come up a lot with, say, once again, alcoholism or drug addiction. Oh, well, you drank some beers last week. So what's the problem with me drinking some beers? You must be the one, if you have a problem with this, you must be the alcoholic. You're not looking at this right. You know, maybe we need to focus on your alcoholism problem. Do you hear that? It's not just rationalizing, it's not projecting, it's minimizing. It's intentionally putting the focus on the other person. It's distraction. Usually what would follow from a situation like that would be all the many reasons why the victim is actually the alcoholic, why they're the one that needs help, why, you know, just even questioning that, you know, this hypothetical person's alcohol consumption, questioning why it would even be a problem at all. And so, you know, obviously it's you that has the problem. It becomes gaslighting it's not gaslighting though, when people simply project their feelings due to other reasons. Like they're being insecure, they're not understanding their own emotions, they're not examining themselves or other things like that. And do you hear it? A lot of it has to do with intent and intent. Last example here. Okay. They tell you everyone else is a liar. And we see this in abusive situations, and we see this in gaslighting. They say, okay, no, they're trying to put you against me. They're lying to you. How dare they try to put you against me here? And it isn't unheard of for a partner to believe that other people are lying. It isn't unheard of to not trust other people. Lying actually happens all the time. And there are many situations where it's justified to say, hey, this other person is working against you. Where it crosses the line into gaslighting, though, is when there's a direct evidence that they're not lying, where the intention by the gaslighter is to separate you from others or to purposely make you doubt other people who are trying to support you. And this is very, very hard to determine at times. I meet with people all the time that believe their partner is involved with someone who means them no good. I encounter con artists and affair partners who are out for money or just generally people looking out for their own selves, even at the cost of others. And I encounter that all the time. And it would make sense then to confront your partner if you believe something like this was going on. It makes sense to try and protect them. I just spoke with someone earlier today, and they believe that their husband was being conned. And that wouldn't be gaslighting for this person who came to me for help to confront this their husband and say, these people are lying to you. And do you hear the difference there? The gaslighting situation is that situation where they're deliberately trying to separate you from others who are trying to support you. And that's just, it's hard to determine sometimes. Like I said, it's hard to 100% determine that your partner is gaslighting you, because oftentimes it starts off small and it builds up over time. So if you've been listening to some of these examples, if you've been listening to me talk about gaslighting, you think that this is the case, keep listening for a little bit, because I want to talk about what we're going to do about this. But in general, I wanted to sum up everything here. If you heard each of these examples and you're saying, okay, well, what is it that makes it gaslighting then? We talked about the definition earlier on. We're saying that it's this pattern of abusive behavior and with the intent not just to influence someone, but to control them, to feed them false information, make them question what they know to be true, make them question what's true about themselves, about other people. But like, there's a very key intention to control and to manipulate. And a lot of times, a lot of these behaviors that look like it, the intention isn't there. And that's why I'm saying a lot of these other times, it's not necessarily gaslighting. But if you've been listening to this and you say, hey, this sounds a little bit like my relationship, and you're not sure whether this is a gaslighting situation, let's just go over some quick tips. You know, first, I have 8 things that I think that you should really work on. 8 things here. So first, make sure that it's gaslighting. Question yourself a bit. Don't back away. Don't try to dismiss your concerns. But what I would say is take time to examine your situation. Really think about it. And what that might mean, you know, second tip here is collect some evidence. Why do you believe it's gaslighting? Collect evidence that points towards this belief. Compile it somewhere. Step 3 is I would take some space from the situation. Gaslighting, I mean, it's very much similar to something like an abusive. It is a type of abuse. It's an abusive situation. It might mean in-home separation or moving in with a trusted family member. This isn't an excuse to stop looking at this, however. This is a way to take some space and allow yourself to think about this. Tip 4, speak up about the behavior. What I would suggest here is confront the gaslighting partner. Are they willing to discuss things with you? Are they willing to look at your concerns? Are they willing to look at their own behavior in the situation? If they're willing to do those things, and if they're willing to say, hey, look, this is serious. If you feel like I'm manipulating, they should be very concerned about this. Now, this isn't going to be everyone. There's many unhealthy situations where, you know, you confront someone, maybe even accusing them of gaslighting, and they're going to deny it. That's possible. It doesn't mean that it's gaslighting if they aren't willing to talk about it. But certainly, if they're willing to discuss and listen to you and really consider your point of view, then that's one way to say, hey, this probably isn't gaslighting. It might be something else. Tip 5, make sure that you remain confident in your version of the events. That's why I'm saying collect evidence. Make sure that you are confident in yourself. If this is a gaslighting situation, then it's likely the gaslighter will attempt to distract you or to diminish or to downplay your concerns. If they won't take your concerns seriously, then go for further separation. Tip 6, make sure that you're focusing on self-care, making sure that you yourself feel healthy, that you have adequate sleep, that you have proper support, that you are in the right frame of mind. So that when you step 7, seek some professional help, that you are thinking about this well and you are able to approach it calmly and with collected thoughts. Suggestion number 8 is to make sure that you're involving others. Try to get opinions from people who are not invested in the situation, such as like if your partner is saying, oh, hey, your parents, your family, they're lying to you. They're trying to drive a wedge between us. Go get some friends' involvement. Go get your church leaders' involvement. Go get your some other family members who are not involved in the situation. Talk to them about what's going on. Try to get their opinions. Because like what I'm getting at here is, gaslighting is a situation where there's a lot of questioning about what's real and what's not. And sometimes what we might believe is gaslighting is really maybe some unhealthy ways of having a discussion, providing feedback. And maybe there is some things that need to be looked at. And this is why I'm saying like, you know, all these steps, having some separation, remaining confident in your version of events, seeking some professional support, involving others, especially those not involved already. We need to get some outside of opinion. We need to get someone with some objective behavior to say, is this something that I really need to take care of myself and adjust myself? Or is this an abusive situation that someone else is, you know, someone else is abusing me? Very serious thing to consider. So hope that helps. And as always, if, you know, if you feel like this is going on, let us know. Let us know in the comments. We would love to talk to you, as we have, you know, dealt with these sort of situations in the past. We are even currently dealing with situations like this with our current clients. So please, we welcome all sorts of questions about this. So if you're needing help, you think that you're perhaps in a gaslighting situation, we would love to help. If you think that you would like further support, you can always go to our website, www.highthrivecoaching.com/apply, and you can apply for a free marriage analysis to see if we can help you with whatever happens to be going on. So on to our marriage myth buster. The myth this week is this idea: our kids need us, so they should come first. This idea that kids should come first. And I will tell you, I have yet to see a couple where this principle, kids come first, where that is some, like an active principle, something that they actively discuss, and for that marriage to be fulfilling. And yet I see that idea over and over and over again. I'll tell you that, you know, a lot of where this myth comes from is this, you know, situation where kids are needy and they do make a lot of requests, and sometimes they can be the squeaky wheel. And we as parents can often say, well, okay, this is our responsibility. We need to take care of them. There's a lot of good intentions behind this sort of myth, because we want to be there for our children. Perhaps, you know, you yourself have experienced neglect as a child, and you wanted to be present. You wanted to be there for your children. What I'm getting at is this idea that kids come first often comes from a very positive sort of position. I want to be a good parent, a father, a good mother. I want to be there for my children. Maybe unlike my parents were there for me. And yet the idea itself will lead to problems. Not just problems in the marriage. I would contend that this sort of idea that kids come first within a family leads to problems with the kids. The primary problem is it does not teach proper boundaries. It doesn't teach kids proper perspective within a relationship. I believe it's incredibly healthy for kids to be told that they are not the priority sometimes. For you to say, I value my marriage and I need to support my spouse. It demonstrates to your children that the amount of care that is in the relationship, and it teaches them some very healthy relationship practices. Like, what I'm getting at here is, like, there's so many benefits both to the children and to a marriage to have proper boundaries within the relationship to protect your marriage from your children, as odd as that sounds. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you neglect your children for the sake of the marriage, but, you know, this is about balance. I am saying, though, that idea that kids should come first within a family is not a healthy idea to adopt, not something that you really want to get behind. So I could go well into statistics and studies and whatnot, but suffice to say, it is not of my opinion that children should come first, or that they should be the number one priority within a relationship. So if you enjoyed our discussion about gaslighting today, if you thought like my brief mention of this Mythbuster was great, if you'd like more content like this, let us know. We are always open to suggestions in terms of what we should talk about. Let us know what you would like us to talk about, what kind of advice you would like to hear, and what kind of questions that you might have. We look at our comments and we plan our podcasts accordingly, because we are here to help all of you. So next week, we're going to share with you how to communicate to your husband. So this is specific advice to all the women out there, or all the people who are married to a man. How do you communicate to your man well? How do you communicate to them effectively, so that there's some actual understanding that goes on? So if you're interested in that, please stay tuned. We'd love to have you there. All right. See everyone.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.